Well, like I said, it's great to be here with you this morning, and I'm excited just to be able to share with you from God's Word. And I want to start by telling you a little story, and maybe some of you can relate to this. When our kids were little, I actually really enjoyed being home with them. But reality is, there were days I felt extremely overwhelmed, and I wasn't so sure I wanted to be there. In fact, there were days I longed for my husband Anthony to walk through the back door just so that I could have some reprieve. He was my backup. And there were moments that I even tried to lock myself in the bathroom just to get some quiet. Didn't always work, but I would sit there and I would dream of sandy beaches and warm sunshine on my face. Well, my reality was very, very far from it. In fact, I was very pregnant with our son, Nevin, and our daughter, Kaden, wasn't even two at the time. And on this particular day, I love you, Katie. On this particular day, she unleashed a tantrum that lasted almost 3 hours. Yes, and about 2 hours in, Anthony came home from work, and we tag team. I was out. I was done. I was at my wit's end for sure. In fact, there were many moments where I felt very overwhelmed in this state. And on this particular time, I had actually called my friend. And I had done this on several occasions, and I would ask her to come and sit in her car outside of our house and wait for me. Oh, yes. I would have everything ready, and the moment Anthony walked in through the back door, I was running out the front. In fact, I probably looked a lot like a lady from the IKEA commercial, "Start the car! Start the car!" And I would go running, and I'd jump in the car, and she'd take off, and we would go. And it was my way to just keep a bit of sanity in my life, a way to step away and just to pause, to get away from the chaos and the noise. And you know, there is no doubt that each in our lives we desire and long for tranquility, for times of peace, seasons of calm, no agenda, easy days, and enjoyment. And then somehow reality hits us smack dab in the middle of the face, and we have things like property taxes and bills to pay, maybe a family tension that has escalated that we didn't quite anticipate, maybe perhaps it's the unwelcome news of a diagnosis we did not expect. Maybe it's a sudden job loss or perhaps a broken relationship. Maybe we're feeling anxious or lonely. And all of these things can be so very overwhelming in our lives. So today, we're going to continue on our summer playlist through the Psalms. The Psalms are the ancient prayer book and worship that Jesus, the Jewish people, and the early church incorporated into their lives. The Psalms are full of a range of emotions, from sadness and sorrow and despair to joy and hope and forgiveness. And so the people would go back to the Psalms to find words that would speak to their situations and to find encouragement. And I think it's no different for our lives today. So we're going to look at a passage that is most likely very familiar to all of us. In fact, we probably most often hear this spoken at funerals. But today we're going to go a little bit of a different direction with this. If you have your Bible, you can open to Psalm 23, and if not, no worries, we have it on the screen here behind us. And it says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I do not want. He makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray. God, we thank you this morning for your presence. We thank you that we can live as people, having assurance that we are never alone in the journey of life. And so this morning, would you spark in our minds and in our hearts the reality of your presence with us at all times? I thank you that your word is true, and today we can glean from the truths of that and see them actively at work in our lives. Be with us this morning in your name. Amen. So we live in a world that quickly allows us to find our identity in all that's going on around us. In fact, social media often tells us what we should be doing and oftentimes who we should be. So it seems only natural that you and I would be caught up in the buzz of everything going on, leaving us feeling very overwhelmed and with a sense of loss even in our own identity. And for David, as we read in the Psalms, he too was easily distracted by all that was happening around him, and he often found himself struggling on his journey. As a young man, David was a shepherd, and he knew what from experience what it took to take care of sheep. And over the years, with God's favor, he grew to become the king of Israel. David was known as a man after God's own heart. Yet the reality is, he lived a life of varied contrasts. Some of his life choices and sins were very far from God's heart. And I think the humanity of David is something you and I can all relate to. And I am certain today that there are things unfolding in each of our lives that have distracted us and shifted our focus off of God onto the weight of what we're facing. Perhaps today, you're walking through a relationship that is broken, or you've been working to keep your head above water to pay bills. Perhaps your business is struggling and the stress of that is keeping you up at night. There are many situations in life that cause us to lose confidence and to lose sight of the one who is walking with us and guiding us on the journey. And it's easy to do. David himself found he was in this situation many times. In fact, in Psalm 22, he has a cry of despair and he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? David's humanity is something we can all identify with. But the beautiful part is what comes next. After such a desperate cry, we're given Psalm 23. And it's a writing that truly reflects the heart of the shepherd. And it's a picture of what it means to place our identity in God and rediscover with confidence to know that the Lord is our guide, that he is our shepherd, and we are certainly not alone in the journey. My hope this morning is that each of us will be able to find ourselves in this psalm, that we could find our own personal journey and we would be able to tie one of our seasons in our life to what's happening in this psalm, that we would come away with a sense of his presence in our lives and an awareness of his leading. Psalm 23 reflects the character and the heart of the shepherd. David could relate to it because he was a shepherd himself. But here, the focus shifts from David to the confidence he places in the one who leads his journey, and he leads him. So we're going to look at three aspects of this passage today, and I invite you to find your own story in one of these scenarios. And with that, may you and I both discover God in our story and be assured that we truly are never alone. The first scenario is this. We need to know who we belong to. So back in the late 90s, I was single and I was living in India. And I found myself in a situation that was extremely stressful and very unfortunate. The government of India had gotten involved in our ministry and began scrutinizing everything that we were doing. And while we had done nothing wrong, life became very, very unpredictable. In fact, I learned to live my days for months on end, not knowing if I would be arrested or if I would be blacklisted and thrown out of the country. These were very tumultuous times for me in my life and for our college. There would be times I would be teaching a class and these gentlemen would show up and I would be removed from the class and questioned for hours on end. And you know, it was through that time I really learned what it meant to depend on God, because there was clearly no way that I was in control of what was happening around me. I had to fully depend on his grace and his mercy to sustain me through this very uncertain time in my life. My parents, along with my Auntie Kathy and my cousin, were planning a visit. And I actually called them and I asked them not to come because I could not ensure their safety. But being parents, they showed up anyway. Right? That's what parents do. They show up. And they did. They came. But self-preservation has a way of instinctively being a part of our lives. And we put up walls and defenses and we do what we can to make sure that we can get through whatever it is that we're facing. So as I went to the airport to pick up my parents, I was so excited to see them. It had been so long. But what happened next, I still find difficult to put into words. There was a metal barricade between us. And as I was waiting for my parents to come out through the security gates, I saw them and they rounded that corner. And I'm pretty sure my mom dropped her bags and ran to me. And as my mom and my dad embraced me across this metal barricade, in that moment, I have never in my life felt so safe and so loved. And it's hard for me to put into words the extent of what that embrace meant, but it also broke something inside of me and my tears began to fall because I had braced myself so hard from what was happening around me. It was like I had exhaled for the first time in years. Their embrace unlocked a dam of emotions, and as they held me, I knew I was going to be okay. Their embrace didn't change my situation or my circumstance, but instantly, I knew I was going to be okay. And I knew that I was being held by those who truly knew me. And I knew I was being embraced by people that I belonged to. You see, when you and I know who we belong to, we're able to accept the fullness of that love. Listen to this. The Lord is my shepherd. This is a personal statement. He is your shepherd. You belong to him. Sheep are always an object of property. And here, David recognizes that his life is ultimately under the care of the shepherd. It's a powerful thing when you and I know who we are, but more importantly, who we belong to. The Lord is my shepherd. Perhaps some of us here today need to be reminded of who we belong to, that our identity comes not by what the world tells us we are, but rather who he says we are. Our identity is placed in him as his children. Brené Brown is a researcher, and maybe some of you are familiar with her works, her TED Talks, and some of her books. And she's done extensive research on shame, and she talks a lot about the importance of belonging. And I love how she puts it. You were imperfect, and you were wired for struggle, but you are worthy of love and belonging. The truth is, we all yearn to belong, and that's what's being offered to us when we choose to follow him. We become his children, and we belong to him. We all struggle in life. Life, in fact, often positions us for failure. And maybe you and I have faced rejection in our lives. Maybe we've not gotten into the right school. Maybe we've endured a recent breakup or a job loss, a sudden illness, or perhaps even the death of a dream. These are all struggles that you and I face, but they should not ever alter our intrinsic need for love and belonging. And if we don't know who our identity rests in, it's easy for our confidence to be shattered when life is full of struggle. Pastor Ken recently shared in a message a few weeks ago that sheep in the Bible are a symbol of God's people. And when you and I can live a life surrendered to him and allow him to be our shepherd, you and I are given full access to his nurture, his guidance, his grace, his love, his forgiveness, and his redemption. John 1:21 says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become the children of God." And this is our identity. This is our good news. And when we begin to live our lives with the awareness that we actually belong to God, it changes the storyline. It changes how we face all that life throws our way. Our identity isn't placed in earthly things around us. In fact, we're called to know him as our shepherd. And when we know we belong to him, we know that he ultimately is in control. Added to this is the next part of the verse that says, "I shall not be in want," or "I lack nothing." In other words, his provision for you and I is abundant. He has more than enough to guide us through every situation that life can throw our way. We recently went through the Lord's Prayer here at 10th, and in Matthew 6:11 is a continued affirmation of this very thing, of how he cares for us. And it says, "Give us this day our daily bread." He is the holder of everything we have ever needed or anything we ever will need. And that is a beautiful thing. The second thing we need to know is how he leads us. I want you to listen to these words again. He makes me lay down. He leads me to quiet and still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness. This is a beautiful picture of God's relationship to us. This is a picture of his heart for his children to be replenished, restored, and most of all, to be calm in his presence. One of the key roles of the shepherd is to know where he's actually leading the flock. And in Israel, green pasture is not as typical as we might think it is. In fact, the climate is very dry and dusty and rocky and arid. And the shepherd needs to have a game plan. He needs to know how he's going to get his sheep to the pasture he needs. He needs to be certain of the route he's going to take. And his heart's desire is to get his flock to a place so they can be nourished, so they can graze, be healthy, breed, and be rested. The shepherd is unable to allow the sheep to quench their thirst in rushing rapid waters. In fact, he searches for those calm waters. And there's more purpose behind the calm waters than just to drink and be replenished. In fact, as I was doing more research, I started looking into the specific care that the shepherd gives to his sheep. The terrain sheep would often walk would be rocky and treacherous. It was very unpredictable because the weather could come and there could be flash floods in the valley and they would have to traverse themselves through muddy pastures. And it was not always easy. There were rocks that they could slip on. There were the dangers of wild animals that could come and attack the flock. There were many things to navigate as they walked through the valley. So often, by the time the sheep reached these lush pastures, they would be in pretty rough shape. The calm waters were not just there for the sheep to drink. In fact, the calm waters were imperative for the shepherd in order to be able to do his job. The waters were there for the shepherd to wash his sheep, to take time to tend to their wounds that they would have suffered along the journey, to examine them for disease, and of course, for the sheep to be replenished. And it made me think, how often in our own journey do we walk a difficult road, knowing God is with us and walking with us, and yet the journey we're on seems so long and so difficult. And then, just when we need it most, he leads us to a place of rest and a season of calm. And there, in his gentleness, he leans down and he tends to the wounds of our soul graciously, tenderly, allowing healing waters of his Holy Spirit to mend, to heal, and to restore our own lives. We need to know he is always leading us, and you and I need to choose to trust his leading in our lives. So our son, Nevin, was turning 3, and we were having a birthday party. Should have been a great evening of celebrating. We had invited family and friends and lots of kids. And what we didn't realize is that one of our family members showed up that evening and was really struggling with some mental health issues. In fact, they were in the midst of an episode. And what should have been a really fun evening for our family celebrating Nevin turned out to not be a very fun evening at all. In fact, our evening was spent putting out fires, navigating really awkward and uncomfortable situations. And this whole situation just unraveled before us that left us feeling shattered, broken, and hurt. It was an unexpected moment for sure. Our family was pretty shaken by the situation. And the next day, Auntie and I got up and we felt, to be honest, we felt a little angry. We felt disappointed. We felt overwhelmed and sad and discouraged. Someone we loved was clearly struggling, and what should have been a celebration turned into an utter nightmare. So we talked about it, and we thought, we have to get out of our house. We have to go do something. So we grabbed our kids, we grabbed some kites, and we headed to Stanley Park. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you something. This day was so fun. We spent time playing in the playground, on the swings, on the slides, enjoying the ocean, the breeze, flying kites. And something happened in our family this day. We left our home feeling so broken and discouraged, and we stepped out into an environment that wasn't our normal space. And we felt life come back into us. We felt hope. We felt restored and replenished. And it turned out to be a beautiful day. It didn't change our situation, but it certainly changed how we felt in that moment. This, quite literally and figuratively, was our green pastures and our still waters. And I'm going to tell you, to this day, you can go to our minivan, and the seat pocket in front of where Nevin sits, you are going to find a kite. Because over the years, we have done this multiple and multiple times. In fact, the kite that's in there right now, we bought down in Oregon a couple of years ago. But over the years, we will stop and randomly fly a kite because of what transpired in our family that day, of hope that was renewed within us, of stepping away and allowing God to just bring some resolve and healing to our souls. And so we're not expert kite flyers, I assure you. But we take those moments to step away and to find ourselves replenished, to be caught up in the moment of whimsy and surrender and allow our kite to fly where it does, sometimes into the tree. But needless to say, we try. Maybe today you find yourself in some of the toughest and thickest terrain you've ever faced. Perhaps maybe it's daunting and dark. Maybe you have fallen and feel beaten by the journey. I want you to take a moment right now to see how God is with you. Perhaps he's been providing for you. Or maybe you haven't recognized someone that he's put in your life to help you navigate your situation, giving you wisdom and perspective. Are you able to identify the ways that he is encouraging you in your story and your journey right now? Maybe he's spoken to you through nature, or maybe he's revealed himself to you in some way. Do you know today with certainty that he is leading you? The shepherd has to lead us through challenging terrain in order to bring us to a place of lush pastures and restorative waters. And he knows the pace at which we must go. He knows how to look out for us. He knows how to protect us. He knows how to sustain us. The real question is this: do you and I know how to let him? Do we trust him to lead, or do we resist and want to do it on our own time and in our own way? Perhaps you and I need to find a place to step away for a few moments, even this week. Maybe it'll cause you to sit on a park bench for a moment. Maybe to call a person and to ask them to pray for you. Perhaps you need to open your Bible and let his word speak to you. Maybe you need to take your business partner out for lunch and actually laugh amongst all the stress that you've been enduring. Maybe, perhaps, you need to look at your spouse in the eye and resolve to find a way forward. We're called to find the simple joys in how he's an active part of our lives. Still waters can be both internal and an external experience. And I'm positive David did not have it easy. And what transpired in his own journey led him to understand the reality of God in his everyday, the one leading the way through the good times and in the bad. Lastly, excuse me, we need to know how to overcome fear. Here's the thing. You will walk through the valley. There is no way around it. But there is need to know his presence as we walk through the valley. And when you know who you belong to, you can identify his presence. They call it the shadow of death. But guess what? There is no fear in a shadow. A shadow of a biting dog cannot bite you. A shadow of a falling rock cannot hit you. A shadow can only exist because there is light. And that's how you and I can overcome fear in our lives, by knowing that He is there with us, because He is that light. And we need to know the source of that light, to know His presence as we walk through the valleys in our own lives. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So you can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can people do to me? Psalm 27 declares, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom should I be afraid? These are the truths we need to be anchored in as you and I walk through the valley. To know He's leading, to allow the darkness of fear to be dispelled by the presence of His light. And as the shepherd walks the journey with us, He is always equipped with several things. And one of the things the shepherd always has with him is his rod and his staff. But I'm going to talk about the staff. The staff the shepherd has with him to gently guide the sheep. The staff is never used to beat the sheep or to hit them, but rather to coax them along, to allow them to know where to go. The crook of the staff is often used to pull back a sheep from stumbling or falling, or to redirect the flock. But here, his staff is used to guide us, and it's used to gently lead us along the way. And the staff is actually our Father's way of saying, I'm looking out for you. So years ago, my parents took us on a trip to Disneyland. And this is our kid, Nevin was probably about 4 or 5 at the time. This was long before Cars Land. It was Autotopia. Yeah, we had to race cars. So we went to Autotopia, and we had gone around the track numerous times. Now, Nevin was very keen on this, and he's like, Mommy, it's my turn. I want to drive. I want to be a big boy. I want to take the wheel. So, as a good mom, I moved over, and I allowed Nevin to take the seat beside me. And I tell you, as he sat down, he turned to me with this very impish look on his face, and he started laughing. At which point, I knew I was in serious trouble. In fact, I want you to have a look. Oh yeah. So what I didn't record is when we first got in the car, Nevin took the steering wheel and starts jerking it hard left and right, and I'm flying into the side of the car. I'm pretty sure I got whiplash that day. But you know what? The one good thing is there was a guardrail down the middle of that track. And that told me that there was no way possible, no matter how hard he jerked on that wheel, that we were going to go off the track. He had a certain amount of leeway to navigate on that journey, on that track. And so I knew it was virtually impossible for him to go somewhere that he was not supposed to go. And it is the same when we have Christ as our shepherd. He is there to guide us. He does not manipulate us. He does not coerce us. Unlike Nevin's hasty driving skills at 4 years old, God is there to gently guide us and to give us the parameters by which to live. And He does that through His Word. His Word is our guidebook and our guardrails for life. And as we work to overcome fear in our lives, especially when we feel things like anxious or stressed, uncertain, when we feel broken or even in doubt. He asks us to lean in and to know his presence, to know his protection, and to choose to rest in the comfort he brings as he leads us and as he guides us. Perhaps today, you can identify with a rocky, unsettled terrain in your life. Maybe this morning you need to ask God to give you a fresh vision of the shepherd in your journey, that you would know with certainty today that you do not walk this road alone and that your identity is in him, not your circumstance, that you belong to him, that the Lord is my shepherd. Maybe today you recognize that you are in a season of rest, but I assure you it is not a time to be lazy. In fact, maybe the season of rest is when you need to choose to allow the shepherd to step a little bit closer so he can touch your soul, so that he can bring healing to you, so he can restore what has been broken and drained for so long. He wants to refresh you, and he wants to speak to your heart. He wants to prepare you for what's still to come. Here's the thing, he delights in seeing you rested. For some of us here today, we need to be reminded of the power of his presence to help us overcome our fears and our anxieties, to know that you and I are not alone. Maybe we need the gentle reminder of his staff to guide us and to nudge us in the right direction, away from self-harm and destructive behaviors. Psalm 23 is a beautiful picture of what it means to know that we are not alone, to be able to walk any crisis or uncertain times in our lives with the assurance that God is always close by. We need to believe he knows the way through the valley and to have confidence in his timing and that the route he's taking us is one that he's prepared for us. Though hard at times, it is known by him. One scholar put it this way, "The valley isn't good, but the shepherd is." The valley isn't good, but the shepherd is. Romans 8:28 says, "We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." This morning, may our confidence be in him, our good shepherd, and may we trust him to know we are not alone in the journey. I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes for a moment. And I want to read Psalm 23 over our lives again. But as I do, I want you to take a moment to see your life in this passage and for you to have confidence to know that you are not alone, no matter your situation or your circumstance. So hear Psalm 23 again over your life today. The shepherd is good. The Lord is your shepherd. You do not want. He makes you lie down in green pastures, and he leads you beside quiet waters. He restores your soul. He guides you along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you do not need to fear evil because he is with you. His rod and his staff, they will comfort you. He prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies, and he anoints your head with oil, and your cup overflows. Surely his goodness and love will follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, I thank you for the promises of your word. I thank you that you truly are our shepherd, that you know each circumstance and situation that is played out in everyone's life here in this room today. You know the burdens that we carry. You know the sorrows that we feel. You know the things that wake us up in the middle of the night. And so, God, today we want to recommit to you that you are our shepherd, that you are our guide, that you are there. And no matter what we face, we are never alone in the journey. So, Father, in the ways that you know best, would you speak to us? Would you guide us on the journey this week? Will we have moments of pause to find those quiet waters, those green pastures, and allow you to step close to restore our souls? We love you, Father. We thank you that you truly are our shepherd. And the shepherd is good, and he loves his sheep. So, Father, I thank you for your work in our lives. We commit our day and our situations into your care.